Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. If somebody were to ask you who in the New Testament showed Jesus the most love, who would you say? Now let's put Mary, his mother, aside, but other than Mary, somebody might say Peter. I think a lot of people might say John, the apostle whom Jesus loved, who leaned on Jesus' chest during the Last Supper. I would say Mary of Bethany. Mary is not his mother, Mary, or Mary Magdalene. This is a different Mary, Mary of Bethany. She only shows up three times in the New Testament. Each time she shows up, she's at the Lord's feet. So on this program, we're going to cover the first two stories of Mary of Bethany. Next week, we'll do the third story. But let's learn from Mary of Bethany how to show Jesus that you love him. Would you take out your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 10, the famous Mary and Martha story, and let's pray. Father, as we open the scriptures now, would you open my mouth and open our ears and our hearts and teach us, Lord, how we can show Jesus that we love him. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Luke chapter 10. Starting at verse 38. Now as they, Jesus and the disciples, were traveling along, Jesus entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, again, not Mary Magdalene or Mary the mother of Christ, Mary of Bethany. She, moreover, Mary of Bethany, was listening to the Lord's word seated at his feet. Here's the first lesson I want you to get. Mary's priority in life was to get the Lord's teaching. She didn't care what the women of The View thought. She didn't care what Oprah thought. She went right to the feet of Jesus. What is Jesus teaching? I live in Minneapolis, and I think one of the most liberal newspapers in the country is the Minneapolis Star and Tribune. A few months ago, they had a 15-page extra section celebrating gay pride. Not a hint that there's another possible side to that issue. So I wrote a letter. I think my point was, can we have a little bit of objective journalism, both sides? And I have struggled with that issue, but I don't go into that behavior because it's not healthy, physically or spiritually. Well, of course they didn't print it. But, you know, here's the problem. It is, I hope you do not go to the Minneapolis Star Tribune or to TV to get your morals. I hope you go right to the feet of Jesus. So let me ask you the question. Do you read your Bible? Is that a priority for you daily to read the Bible and to be at Jesus' feet? I want to encourage you again. It's free. On your smartphone, go to bible.is. and load that onto your phone, and you can read the Bible through that. What I love to do is just lay in bed and have it read to me. It'll read it to you aloud. But the first thing I learned from Mary of Bethany and how to show Jesus you love him, you listen to him. Next is verse 40. But Martha, her sister, was distracted with all her preparations for the meal, and she came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." Here's the next lesson. Hearing God is more important than serving God. Martha thinks it's more important. Get Mary up and into the kitchen with me. And Jesus is going to say no. Why? Because it's more important than you hear God than you serve God. Let me explain. So once I was downtown, and there were these two street preachers, and I thought, okay, I'm going to listen to see what they're preaching. And the one said, you know, there's a heaven, there's a hell. You need Jesus. You need to believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins to go to heaven. I thought, well, this is good. But then he said, you know, I haven't sinned for years. And I thought, whoops. And then the other one said, do you know that the Bible teaches that black people should serve white people? And I'm thinking, what? And you know the problem with those two? They need to stop serving the Lord, and they need to sit and listen to the Lord and learn from Scripture, because it's more important to hear the Lord. Once you've heard the Lord and you've studied Scripture, then go be a street preacher. But if you serve the Lord without hearing Him first, you're going to mess people up. 100 years ago, a famous preacher by the name of Harry Ironside went to visit an old saint by the name of Andrew Frazier. And Ironside was so impressed by the way this old person opened up the Scriptures to him and explained the teaching of Scripture. And with tears in his eyes, Ironside said, "Where did you get such wisdom?" And Mr. Frazier replied, "On my knees on the mud floor of a little sod cottage in the north of Ireland, there with my Bible open before me, I used to kneel for hours at a time and ask the Spirit of God to reveal Christ to my soul and to open the Word to my heart. God taught me more on my knees on that mud floor than I could have ever learned in all the colleges and seminaries of the world." So I hope every day you're spending time listening to God, reading the Bible at Jesus' feet. Next thing we learn from Mary is verse 41. "But the Lord answered Martha and said, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one.'" Here's the next lesson I learned from Mary of Bethany. Simplify your life down to the one thing. While ago, I shared how I got COVID really bad, and I prayed for death for about 4 nights. But the Lord dealt with me in those awful days. And one thing I think the Lord taught me, Tom, simplify your life. And we're blessed because we have something in Minneapolis called Bible for Missions Thrift Store. So everything you drop off there goes to missions in Eastern Europe. So I loaded up my car with lots of stuff, and I dropped it off at Bible for Missions. It felt so good. I used to know an old Christian by the name of Olaf. We called him Saint Olaf. And he had a cabin up north in Minnesota. And one day an arsonist broke in and burnt his cabin to the ground, and Olaf said, "Best day of my life." Because he was tired of going up there to fix the windows, mow the lawn, et cetera, et cetera. And what I learned from Mary of Bethany, she was seated at Jesus' feet. That was the main thing in her life. Simplify your life down to that. Verse 42, Mary has chosen the good part. Here's the next lesson. You have to choose the good. I mean, the bad comes naturally and easily. It's easy to watch TV. It's easy to read the newspaper. It's easy to, you know, to spend way too much time on your iPhone or whatever. But if you're going to be at Jesus' feet, you got to choose to read your Bible every day. You got to choose to find a good church and go every week. You got to choose to listen to Christian radio or read Christian books. To get the good part, it just doesn't happen naturally. You got to choose it. Now and then we get a letter. "Pastor Brock, you're our church now. We just watch you on." Don't do that. I'm not your church. Find a good church and go every week. You got to choose that, though. And look at the next part of verse 42. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Here's the next lesson. Those who choose it won't lose it. If you're Mary, if you're choosing Christ, you're seated at his feet, That'll never be taken away from you. So I want to urge you, if you haven't chosen Christ, if you haven't come to Christ, choose Him, center your life in Him, and then tell people that. Tell people you've chosen Christ. You know, if I can get personal here for a moment, but in the family, my dad was a Catholic, went to church every Sunday. My mom was a Lutheran, went to church every Sunday. She took us kids to Lutheran church. We all went to church every Sunday and then came home and pretty much never talked about it. Well, I mean, now and then we talk about God, not much. So, I'm 19 years old, my dad gets a brain tumor. They give him 6 months to a year to live. And he died, and right after he died, about a month after, a person from Campus Crusade for Christ came to my Lutheran church, explained to all of us how to lead a soul to Christ. I didn't know that at that point. That was a big deal for me. And I thought about Dad. And I had maybe 10 dreams where Dad was on his deathbed. And before I could say, Jesus died for your sins, he'd always die on me. Horrible dreams. Well, our Lutheran pastor, Pastor Schaff, visited my Catholic dad when Dad was dying. And some years ago, I thought, I'm going to ask Pastor Schaff. And he had now retired. He was living in Florida. I went to visit him and his wife. I said, Pastor Schaff, you know, thank you for visiting my dad when he was dying so many times. Do you think my dad knew the Lord? And Pastor Schaff said, you know, I think he really did, which was a blessing for me. I came back to Minneapolis. I got a letter from the pastor's wife. And she said, Dear Tom, I watched your face as you earnestly searched my husband's memory about any kind of faith in your father. And she wrote me this very nice letter. But I think her point was, let's not do that to people. If you've chosen Christ, tell your family you've chosen Christ. Well, you have to choose the good part to get it, but it won't be taken away from you. But be vocal about it. All right. That is the first time Mary of Bethany appears. Let's go to story number two. Let me tell you the story. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, is sick. So Mary and Martha send word to Jesus, who's in another vicinity, quick, come heal him. He's really sick. Jesus purposely stays 2 days where he's at. And then finally he shows up after Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And Mary and Martha are not happy with Jesus. And so let's look at the story. Turn to John chapter 11, verse 28. Martha called Mary, her sister, saying, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, Mary arose quickly and was coming to him. Next thing I learn, go quickly to Jesus. When people are hurting, a lot of people quickly go to the doctor, or they quickly go to booze, or drugs, or pornography, or food, you know, fill in the blank. Mary went quickly to Jesus. I mean, this reminded me of when I was in college. I knew this Christian girl, and I said to her, you got an aspirin? I got a headache. She said, well, have you prayed? And I said, well, I guess no, I haven't. She said, well, shall we pray? And when we're hurting, first, nothing's wrong with going to the doctor, but first we go to Jesus. There was a... Dr. W.M. Taylor tells a story of there was this little girl, and she was on the train that he was riding on, and very friendly little girl flitting from stranger to stranger, talking to people. But when the train went into the dark tunnel, she flew to the lap of her mother. And when you're in trouble, where do you fly first? You fly to Jesus. That's what Mary is doing in this story. Verse 30. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. The Jews who were with her in the house were consoling her. When they saw that Mary arose quickly and went out, they followed her, thinking she was going to go to the tomb to weep at her brother's tomb. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Here's the next lesson. Tell Jesus your anger and sorrow. Mary is angry here. Why didn't she, and you waited 4 days? Why didn't you show up when we called on you? And, you know, Mary teaches me, when you get mad at God, you might as well talk to him about it. He knows it anyway, and he can handle it. So if you're angry about what God has done in your life or whatever, talk to him about it. I haven't done this like I should for a long time, but I used to journal. I had kind of, instead of saying, "Dear Diary," "Dear Father in Heaven," and I would pray. I'd write my my thoughts and my feelings out. It was very therapeutic. So it's okay if you're upset with God. Talk to him about it. Having said that, I heard a Christian counselor say once, "You know, sometimes we just have to forgive God." And I thought, whoops. God doesn't sin. We don't need to forgive God. He's perfect. You know, Jesus knew what he was doing by waiting 4 days to show up. He wasn't going to heal Lazarus. He was going to raise him from the dead. A lot of times we don't understand what God is doing, but it's always best, and we never need to forgive God. There was a Lutheran professor by the name of O. Hallesby in Norway years ago, and he wrote these words about this story. Jesus had reasons for doing what he did. In the first place, he wanted to help Martha. It was difficult for her to find time to listen when Jesus spoke. She was always in the kitchen. But now busy Martha had time. Now the Lord did not have to ask her to sit still and listen. She came of her own accord at the death of her brother as soon as she heard Jesus was near. Since that time, there have been many a busy Martha who would not be still unless the Lord sent sickness and tribulation with the message, "The Master is calling for you." Jesus also had another reason. The sisters had asked Jesus to heal Lazarus. Jesus would do more than they asked of him. He would raise Lazarus from the dead. Then he concludes, "Your trials and your sorrows are incomprehensible to you, and you have prayed the Lord unceasingly that he would remove them from you. But he has had something greater in mind. He will reveal to you his glory if you will only believe." Look at verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Here's the last lesson, and then Jesus will raise Lazarus from the dead. We won't go any further, but here's the last lesson. Trouble Jesus with your troubles. You know, I heard somebody say once, "Well, you know, God is running the universe. He's busy. I don't want to trouble him with my little troubles." God is big. You know, if you don't trouble him with your troubles, that's what'll bother him. Many years ago, Mother Teresa was on the William F. Buckley Firing Line TV show, and she said, "The infinite God is concerned with one little Indian girl in the gutter. That is the nature of God." I want to repeat that. The infinite God is concerned about one little Indian girl in the gutter. That is the nature of God. Mary of Bethany teaches us, trouble Jesus with your troubles. It will trouble him if you don't. All right, let's review. What have we learned from Mary of Bethany about how do you show Jesus you love him? Well, we have learned that your priority in life is to get the Lord's teaching, to be at his feet. I hope you read your Bible daily. Hearing God is more important than serving God. We've also learned to simplify our life down to the one important thing, but you have to choose the good to get it But those who choose it won't lose it. And then we went to Lazarus' death, and we learned to go quickly to Jesus with your sorrows, tell him your sorrows and your woes, and then trouble Jesus with your troubles. So here's what I want to do. I want to close the sermon part of our show now, and I want to ask you to do something kind of different. Can I just ask you to close your eyes? Wherever you're seated there, could you just close your eyes? Whatever your troubles are at this moment, I want to ask you to talk to Jesus about that. I want to sing an old hymn, and while I sing, would you just talk to Jesus about your troubles? I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. If I will tell him, Jesus will help me. He always loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world of evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. If I will ask him, Jesus will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first letter from a viewer says, I don't know what to do. I am a Christian. I absolutely hate myself and cannot live with still having sinful desires knowing what Jesus died for me. I plead with God to take me. I know that he should destroy me, if for nothing else, for the way I still sin after passing to the other side of the cross. I still give in to sins that I have had since my youth. Neither church nor fellowship nor Bible studies have changed me at all. I love Jesus. Why would we be left to still deal with sinning against God? I just hate myself.
And I remember an old professor at seminary saying, God's law speaks the loudest to those who know Christ and his love for us. I mean, we know the depth of our sin more than anybody else because we know the deep love of God. And so what I said to him was, as we all sin after the cross. Mm-hmm. We all sin after our conversion. And I said, all you can do when you sin is ask God's forgiveness, get back up, and move on. And I told him the devil loves it when we lay in our guilt and beat ourselves up. That's not what God wants us to do. So if you sin, like I've taught many times on this show, you immediately do three things. Number one, you confess it. The word confess means agree with. God, I agree. That was wrong. Mm-hmm. Number two, I put it under the blood. God, I believe Christ paid for my sin, so I'm forgiven. And then number three, I immediately forget about it and move on. God's forgiven me, and I forgive myself, and I move on. So that's the main thing I said to him. But secondly, I said, you need to fight. You need to get into either a Christian accountability relationship with another Christian who will pray with you once a week, or get into a little small group. There are these wonderful churches around the country called Celebrate Recovery. And if you've got a problem with pornography or alcohol or drugs or, you know, fill in the blank, these churches called Celebrate Recovery are all over the country. You join a little small group, and you hold each other accountable. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, you need to now start fighting and not beating yourself up. So that was my response.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Another letter from a viewer. I have a son who is gay, and I just don't know where to go from here. It's got me to the point almost where I just don't want to live anymore. I can barely talk to my husband about it. We're both Christians. So I decided for the last resort. I was going to reach out to you.
I'm the last resort.
Do you have any advice for me?
Thank you. Yeah, I do. Google the words Restored Hope Network. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that there are groups all over the country, Christian groups, that help people turn away from homosexual behavior, and also that help parents. There's a wonderful Christian ministry here in Minneapolis called Outpost Ministry. And I get calls from, you know, Pastor Brock, my son just came out of the closet. What do I do? And I say, well, call this phone number. And Outpost Ministry has a group just for parents. Mm-hmm. And they pray for each other and they counsel each other. So if you're an evangelical or a Protestant, Google Restored Hope Network. If you're a Catholic, there's a ministry called Courage International. And I went to one of their conferences once, and the parents got up and talked about how helpful it was that they have a parents group. Mm-hmm. So if you struggle with yourself with homosexuality, you can join one of these Restored Hope Network groups. Or if you're a Catholic, they've got groups for parents and for the strugglers mm-hmm. in both of the groups, Restored Hope Network and also Courage International. There's help out there.
And to continue to love them and pray for
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Actually, I'll add this. The Catholic couple said, you know, we do love our son. We accept him. He comes to our house. But we tell him, you can't sleep in the same bed as your boyfriend. That's not going to happen in our house. And he respects that. Mm-hmm. But so there you go. Yep.
Okay. If I am married by a justice of the peace and not by a pastor in the church, is it a real marriage? Does it count in the eyes of God?
It's a real marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, I think in the Old Testament, you kind of took your spouse into the tent, and that was it. But, yeah, I think it's preferable. Get the blessing of God on this wedding. Mm-hmm. Have it in the church. Have it done by a pastor. That's preferable. But if you go to the justice of the peace, it's still a real marriage. Yeah.
Okay.
And like I said on an earlier show, somebody wrote, you know, can I just get married by my pastor and not do it in the eyes of the law? Mm-hmm. No. You know, I know a pastor who did that because the couple, older couple, thought it would be financially advantageous not to really get married. Well, then you're defrauding the government. Mm-hmm. So just get married in the eyes of God and in the eyes of the state.
Okay. Well, we're running out of time. Is there anything you wanted to tell our viewers?
Well, just everybody, thank you so much. We get a lot of letters now and people praying for us and supporting us. And thanks for your prayers and support. You can support us by going to pastorstudy.org. And there you go.
God bless.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.